I'm an aerospace engineer with PhD in engineering sciences. I got actually my master in aerospace engineering at the Polytechnic of Turin in Italy, and then moved to Belgium. I started working as a development engineer, and then I got sort of postgraduate in applied sciences, and then a PhD in engineering sciences at the University of Brussels. Meanwhile, I was working at the von Karman Institute for Fluid Dynamics, which is a research center funded by some NATO countries and the Belgian federal government. My specialty has been always the development of models and software for simulating flows and plasmas in space applications. And this includes hypersonic flows around space vehicles during reentry phases, but also some astrophysical phenomena, especially, let's say, solar phenomena in the solar atmosphere, like magnetic reconnection, space weather. So, after spending, let's say, 16 years at the von Karman Institute, actually, during this period, I also took a break, a sabbatical year. I went to Stanford. And I was working on a project from NASA Ames. I spent about a year. I could have stayed longer, but for personal issues, I was sort of forced to come back. And then in 2018, I moved to my current employer, which is the University of KU Leuven, which is the top university in Belgium. And there I'm working in the Center for Mathematical Plasma Astrophysics. I'm a research manager. I lead a team. Actually, more than one team working on different projects, but all related to what I explained before, some in astrophysics and some in more, let's say, space technology. And in particular, I've been involved already since a decade in the development of the Virtual Space Weather Modeling Center, which is a software infrastructure from the European Space Agency. I'm basically the designer of core infrastructure. I've been involved a little less during the last year, but I started the project basically together with others. And then I'm also the coordinator of a project which is aiming at developing next generation magnetic shielding technology for spacecrafts. And within this project, I'm actually coordinating a consortium in which there are about 30 scientists and engineers. All with different expertise, and what we are trying to do is build a prototype device based on high temperature superconducting materials to basically create a magnetic shield around a spacecraft and mitigate some, let's say, effects like heat fluxes, high heat fluxes during reentry phases that you have to shield with some thermal protection materials. And then also the phenomenon known as radio communication blackout. Actually, there is a problem of sending signal from ground control to the spacecraft. So actually, all my passion for space started in 1983 after a UFO encounter when I had to decide what to do in life. That particular event was what led me on the path in which I'm now. So basically, I was standing on a balcony together with my parents. It was around the 15th of August of 1983. I don't know the exact date, but more or less. And so we were standing on a line, basically talking to each other. And at a certain moment, we see this object appearing in front of the balcony, exactly at the same level as the balcony, like 30 feet in front of us. And this object initially was looking like metallic, glassy, but as soon as we focused our attention on the object started spinning at an incredible RPM, I think 1,000, 2,000 RPM, and it became luminous. And while rotating, it also shrank in size progressively till when it disappeared while emitting a flash of light. And the whole thing lasted a few seconds. But it's one of these experiences that you cannot really easily forget. And and the interesting thing is that within the same summer, I have an uncle from the side of my mother who was staying in the same apartment but a few weeks after us. And basically he witnessed another object different from the one that we saw, because the one that we saw was more or less maybe like 4 feet in diameter, so pretty small and very close. But he saw a much larger one looking like a more traditional UFO with like a dome, like a disc, and then beams of light coming off different windows. And he saw it basically arriving on his left eye in the sky. And he called his wife. He said, "Do you see the same thing?" And so they look at it for, he says, about 30, 45 seconds. And then the object suddenly started spinning, became like a ball of red light, and it shot like a bullet. And during the night, they also had some sort of hallucination, both of them. I mean, my auntie during dream time, and he while waking up, they both had the impression of seeing a face of a humanoid, but almost made of light and with sort of air. So she described it as, "I saw like a Jesus Christ made of light, while my uncle was like just seeing this face." And so when they compared their experience in the morning, said, "Ah, I was waking up and saw this thing, you know, on the wall of the bedroom." My auntie said, "Ah, actually I had a dream in which I saw Jesus Christ with the, you know, hair made of light or fire." So it was interesting. So yeah, for a long time, actually, I really didn't remember this event. It didn't really change my life. I was only 8 years old, you know. Mm. But like 4 or 5 years later, when my uncle actually brought up his experience, then I told my mother, "Oh, wow, you remember, in the same summer we were there, we also saw something strange." And that was a game changer. So after that, even if I was like only 12, 13 years old, I started researching as much as possible about UFOs, aliens, but also other stuff like spirits, monsters, reincarnation, you know, Loch Ness Monster. I mean, I was interested in anything that was, you know, paranormal, kind of.
Yeah. And and your interest in UFOs and your experiences with UFOs eventually led to you wanting to become an aerospace engineer and pursuing this career path?
Yeah, because then then I went to high school, and I also got in, let's say, interested in astrophysics and stuff. So when I had to decide where to go at university, I was undecided between astrophysics and engineering. But then I actually chose engineering because they advised me to do that in order to find a job more easily. It's more easily at the time. Now maybe it's different, but at the time, being an engineer, I mean, was a straight path towards finding a job. So I said, okay, there is enough physics, there is a lot of stuff that maybe one day I will be able to explain what I saw that particular day. So, you know, I'll choose one.
And so through your career, as you kind of went through at the beginning, you've done some impressive projects and you've worked on some pretty interesting projects, including, you said that you'd worked for NASA Ames, was that right, for a year? What were you doing at
Yes.
NASA?
Well, it was related to the kind of research that I already did. So I was working on a piece of software in which I had to implement a different model for simulating space vehicles. I mean, the flow around space vehicles. And for me, it was a bit frustrating because that year I couldn't work on the same software that I developed. I mean, I work on a certain software for like 20 years. And I had like 100 people working on that. And also even NASA Ames recently, through an ex-collaborator, used part of the software to do a specific simulation. But so I was like, you know, I wasn't in full control of what I was doing. I did perform, but I wasn't excited. And I preferred to actually, yeah, come back to Belgium and kept on working on my old project and take it up to, I mean, I'm still working on the same project now.
Right. Yeah, so you're currently working on a project for, was it the magnetic shielding for the re-entry of aerospace vehicles?
Yeah, so this is the major project that I have, that I'm leading. As I said, there are like 10 different institutions involved in Europe. But I'm also working on developing a new solver for simulating the corona of the sun. And this is used as an input to a larger software to do space weather predictions, basically.
Right.
And yeah. And so, and I'm also working with other students. I'm supervising like four or five PhD students, plus other guys, and these are working each one on a different project, let's say.
Right.